Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
I once heard a little humorous anecdote where a man walks up to another man and he says to him, "What do you think of all the apathy and indifference in the world today?" And the man responds, "I don't know and I don't care." Well, that's our basic understanding of the notion of indifference, but I want to challenge us today to take a good hard look at theological indifference, the indifference that brings evidence of our deep relationship with Jesus Christ and how ultimately we want His will for our lives. There's a definition of indifference that comes out of traditional Ignatian theology, and it's something like this. Indifference is the ability to be free from disordered loves and disordered fears, so that at any time I can wholeheartedly respond to God's call to intimacy and to His invitation to serve with Him. All right, indifference doesn't mean I don't have an attitude or I don't have feelings or I don't have a desire. It means that when all is said and done, I am willing to set aside what I want to embrace what it is that God wants, because I have a confidence that whatever God wants for me will drive me deeper into a relationship with Him and enable me to participate with Him in His ministry in the world. Maybe the greatest example of indifference that's in Scripture is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Actually, right now as I'm doing this podcast, I lifted my head and there it is right in front of me. I hadn't noticed, but there's an icon, and the icon is an icon of Jesus at Gethsemane praying while the disciples are sleeping. You see, in Gethsemane, Jesus was crystal clear that what He felt God wanted was not going to be easy, and so He cries out to God, and He says to Him, "Is there any other way?" Jesus was showing, if you will, a preference for the direction that He hoped things would go, but once He came to voice His concern and the presence of God came to Him, He was able to say, "Not my will, but your will be done." In other words, I have feelings about what I'd like to see happen, but in the end, I trust you enough to say, "You choose, Father, you choose." That's at the heart of indifference, the idea that even though we have a preference, we trust God that whatever it is He's asking us to do, it can and will in some way draw us deeper into our relationship with Him and help us be a greater instrument for the kingdom in this world. I want to talk for a few moments today about the story of Peter, particularly the story of Peter that we see coming in John 21. Now, we know that Peter ended up denying Christ. We get it, that Jesus had said that He would do it, that before the rooster crowed three times, that Peter would deny Him three times, and then we know the story. Jesus is there under interrogation, and people come to Peter to either question the fact that he was with Jesus or state that they saw Him with Jesus, and three times Peter said, no, I didn't know Jesus. Now, I think, to be honest about this, that this was a very tense moment with lots of violence in the air, and that I think Peter made his decision to betray Jesus because he was driven by deep fear and what would be called disordered affections. Maybe in this moment he wanted to save his own skin more than he wanted intimacy with Jesus. Maybe he wanted the acceptance of others more than he wanted to do the will of God. Maybe he wanted to be significant in the eyes of these people more than he did want to carry the cross with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want you to think there's any guilt and shame in that for me, because I get it, that when there are insecurities inside of us, those insecurities well up and we have certain preferences that become more important than intimacy with Jesus and doing God's will. I know we don't want to say that, and many of us don't want to believe that, but it's true. We can. These areas of our lives that have not yet been touched by the redemptive hand of Jesus, where we haven't said yes to the growth that's necessary. And so in the end, Peter betrayed Jesus. And he did it because he had desires that were greater in that moment than his desire to love Jesus and to do the Father's will. And in some ways, that was good to be revealed. And it's true of us, too. I know that all of us say Jesus is number one in our lives and he's more important than anything else. And I think we all mean that we hope that's true. But when we have disordered loves, when we have wounded affections, when in fact we have idols of the heart, when push comes to shove, we'll turn there because we want to save our own skin, because we want to be accepted, because we want to be seen big in other people's eyes. And that means that we are not experiencing theological indifference. That ability to say, I don't want anything to get in the way of my wholehearted response to God's call to intimacy and the opportunity to serve with him. So now the story moves to John 21. Jesus has died on the cross. He's resurrected from the dead. And there's this story about a miraculous catch of fish. Jesus, now in the resurrection, goes to the Sea of Galilee, and he's going to appear to his disciples again. And the disciples had gone fishing. Now, I don't want to lose that point, because often, once we have shown what our affections truly are, we go back to that which we know, that which we think will give us the security and the acceptance and the significance that we've had. Even though there was the great ministry with Jesus, Peter was feeling insecure. He was feeling a lack of acceptance, and he was angry at himself, and so he went back to what he knew. So they went out fishing, and it says that they caught nothing. Wow, this is a reminder of a previous event, isn't it? Earlier in Luke, it's a story of Jesus when the disciples caught nothing. And it says that Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus called out to them and said, have you caught any fish? And they said, no. And so Jesus says, throw your net on the other side of the boat. Uh-oh, same words that had come at the very call of Peter. And they did so. And it says that there were so many fish that they couldn't haul the net into the boat. And then one of the disciples, and the Bible says the disciple whom Jesus loved. Of course, we know that's John. John always referred to himself as, I, John, the one that Jesus loves. Of course, Jesus loved them all, but John was confident that Jesus loved him most. How audacious, wonderfully audacious, for John to be so confident that he calls himself the one that Jesus loved. I think all of us should do that. I, Terry, the one that Jesus loved. Try it with your own name. You'll see that there's some great power in that. But anyhow, the one that Jesus loves says to Peter, it's the Lord. And as soon as Peter heard this, he takes out his outer garment, and he jumps into the water, and he heads for the shore. And the others come rowing behind, bringing in the fish. And Jesus said, bring some of the fish over here. And so they do. And it says that there were over 153 fish. Now, the Bible says that nobody dared ask if it was Jesus, because by this time they knew it was Jesus. And this is when Jesus begins to confront the affections of Peter. And the Bible says that when they finished eating these fish that had been cooked, Jesus said to Peter, do you love me more than these? Wow. Do you love me more than these? This issue of love is very important, and in some way, Jesus was calling Peter back to his first love of intimacy with Jesus and serving the kingdom. He had seen that Peter was about to go back to his old way of life, but Jesus wants to call him back to first love. That's similar to the story in the book of Revelation about the church of Ephesus when it said, I have one thing against you, you have lost your first love. You have let other affections and other desires besides intimacy with Jesus and serving the kingdom to come into your heart. Well, that's basically what Jesus was saying here to Peter. And he's wanting to call him back to first love. And he's saying to him, do you love me more than these? You know, the question in my mind, well, what are these? Was he pointing to something? Did he say, do you love me more than these? And he pointed to the fish. Did he point to the boats? Did he point to the other disciples? But what he was doing is he was challenging Peter's affections. He wasn't saying, do you hate these things? He wasn't asking him to not like these things. He was just saying that when it's all said and done, do you love me more than these other things? See, that's the notion of indifference. Indifference isn't, I don't care about anything else. Theological indifference is saying, while I may love something else, if loving that gets in the way of loving Jesus, I am going to choose loving Jesus every time. That's the notion of indifference. That I don't want to be burdened by disordered loves and disordered fears and wounded desires, so that at any time I can wholeheartedly respond to the call to intimacy and the call to serve the kingdom with him. See, Jesus in Gethsemane had an opinion as he was praying. He shared what his desire was. I don't want to do this, Father. Is there another way? But then he was able to move toward what I'm calling indifference to say, but Father, even though that is what I'm saying, I want your will to be done. You choose, Father. That's what indifference is all about. The ability to set aside things we love, things we like, things we want, but set them aside when it comes time to saying yes to loving Jesus more and to serving him more. See, this is the problem with the rich young ruler. He couldn't set it aside. He wanted Jesus. But when Jesus said, if you could set that aside and follow me, he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Why? Because he was deeply connected to these disordered loves. And in his case, it was the disordered love of his riches. The invitation is always an invitation to set aside things we love, to accept the things that are greater in our love, which again is always knowing Jesus and serving him. Years ago, I had an invitation to lead a seminary. And boy, did it play into my need for significance and acceptance and security. And I ended up saying yes when I should have said no. I was too wounded not to say no. My affections were disordered. What I should have done is been able to go before the Father and said, I want to do this. I really have an attraction to this. It seems to meet a deep need in my life, but Father, what do you want? I just convinced myself, surely this is God. And I said yes. And in the end, it didn't give me life. It didn't bring consolation. It actually brought a certain degree of desolation. It wasn't that the people were bad or the job wasn't important. It just wasn't for me. Indifference is the ability to say yes or no to the invitation of Christ solely based on what draws us closer to God and what would best serve the kingdom of God. It's something I want to practice more. I'm not there in so many areas of my life, but I know how important it is and that Jesus is our model. See, many times our notion of faith is trying to perceive what we think would be best for us and then by faith asking God to give it to us, believing it'll come. But I think the deepest faith is a faith that's able to say, God, you choose. You choose the direction. You choose the posture of my life. You choose whether it's victory or success. You choose whether it's poverty or wealth. I'll give you my preference, God. I prefer health. I prefer wealth. But you choose. I think that's what was going on here with Peter. That night, in the cold, when Peter stood by a fire while Jesus is being interrogated, his affections and his fears came to the surface. And when he was confronted, he chose according to those old affections, the desire for security, acceptance, and significance. He chose according to those fears, and in the end, he betrayed Jesus. But later on, Jesus showed that he understood. But now he asked Peter, do you love me more than these? That's the question. And if you love me more than these, then you'll be able to feed my sheep and tend my lambs. Intimacy and serving the kingdom. Two key characteristics of following Christ. And in many day-to-day examples, it all boils down to the issue of indifference. Am I able to set aside loves to always embrace first love? I encourage you to talk to Jesus about this. He'll show you, as he will show me, any areas in my life, your life, where there are disordered affections. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, he'll help us to be able to untangle those affections, to lay down those idols, in order that we can say yes to whatever it is that draws us deeper to him. Well, I pray God's blessing on you. I want to remind you, we have a Facebook page and website. By the way, there are some short little videos I've begun to put up on the website. You might want to look there. Just encouragement. That's all it's about. How to encourage our journey with Christ. I'd appreciate if you told your friends about Sling Stones. It may help them also. But in all, God bless you, and remember that his face shines on you.